Good morning. Wow, the old rugged cross, huh? The old favorite. I love the old hymns, and I really do. I pray that the churches in America and around the world would continue singing those old hymns, and we don't forget them, you know. Some of them are really anointed and precious, and I also, I like the new praise and worship songs too, you know, and so I think that it's would be wise to strike a balance there as we move into the new a new world coming upon us, you know. So I love that. Old hymns and the new worship songs. That's awesome. So good morning again. I want to welcome any visitors, folks that I hadn't met yet, and some of you have met several times. I want to welcome you. And I'm excited. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Matthew again. If you guys have been here for a while, are we going to get out of this? Well, today is the last day of this series. If you're new or visiting or you hadn't been in a while, this is the fifth Sunday that we've been going through the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And I'm excited. We're gonna conclude this series this morning. And then next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, and then we'll move into Easter. So very excited about that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, as always, to hold my hand, to help me say the right things at the right time. And Lord, you know that it's not about what I think is, you know, to say. I just want to completely trust you, Holy Spirit, and that you'll give me guidance as I bring the truth of the gospel, the word of God to your children today and to us. And now let's I rely on you. Thank you, Lord, for this great music. And I appreciate everything that everybody does behind the scenes to make everything happen. And we love you. We thank you. We lift your name up. And I ask you to bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And let's read. Jesus is saying, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner," Jesus said, "therefore pray." And then I switch over to the King James here. It says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then it goes on with the little doxology that says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." All right. So for the last few weeks, we've been discussing that God is our Heavenly Father. As we look in detail at the Lord's Prayer, that He is our Heavenly Father. That He does love us, that we are His children, and that He has a plan for us. And that His name is holy and worthy to be praised. Amen? He says, we've discussed also where Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, was talking about Himself as the kingdom of God. And as His purpose is to seek and save the lost through His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, and Jesus living through us, His adopted children, and us being ministers of reconciliation. In other words, for us walking out this Christian life, day by day, with the good and the bad, and being that light in the world, that other folks can see us and see our actions and behaviors and how we handle things. And hopefully those folks saying, man, I want what he has. I want what she has. Look what she's been through. And look how she's still hanging in there. The lost hopefully will be attracted to that. Now we've also learned in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus is teaching us that we can trust Him. We can trust Him with our daily needs. For the things that we need each day, even the simple things like our basic human needs of water, something to eat, and shelter, and clothes, that Jesus says He will take care of us. That we can trust God. He'll provide that rain, right? He will. He will provide. And then last week we talked about how Jesus in the Lord's Prayer was trying to get us to see the importance of how it's really important to forgive ourselves and to forgive others when they sin against us. When others hurt our feelings, when others offend us, when others let us down or don't live up to our expectations, whether it's from childhood right on up to last week when your supervisor just disrespected you in front of other people and you felt like doing something bad. Right? Anybody know what I mean? I'll get him or her, you know. So we got to be able to quickly forgive those people because they deserve God's mercy too, don't they? Just like us. And we might not feel like. One of the keys from last Sunday, remember, forgiveness is not based on feelings. It's just a decision that we make. Now you decide to forgive people out of obedience. God honors obedience. So today we're going to look at the last scripture in the Lord's Prayer. You guys ready? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now let's be clear before we get started. I remember Sunday nights when Paul's going through the book of James, doing a great job. So my commercial right now, I'll plug Sunday night because Paul's doing a great job. We're going through the book of James. So if you have time and it fits in everything, we're welcome to come back on Sunday night. Well, we learned that God does not tempt us to sin. Okay, so when you look at this scripture, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Remember, God does not tempt us to sin. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 13. Says real clear, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. See, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. That clears that right up, James 1:13. So we ask ourselves, when we talk about temptation, then where does this temptation come from? And we all know that the devil can tempt you and wickedness and evilness in the world. We understand that. But when you really study this temptation right here and you study the true meaning, okay, it's going down a different road. Here it is, James 1. James goes on to share in James 1, verse 14. It says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So when Jesus is talking about this temptation here, it's really talking about our own desires, our own things within us that's drawing us. The Bible talks about the flesh, and drawing us into this temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, when we talk about the word lead, it literally means to bring one into a place. It's like saying, hey, you guys, come over here. It's like leading someone to a place. Okay? Temptation, when you look up the Greek on that, the temptation means an enticement to sin arising from our own desires. There it is again, straight in the Greek right there, meaning. Okay, the Bible is full of a lot of stories about how God is leading His people. Isn't that right? We can go on and on about how God leads His people. Even the word Christian means follower of Christ. Okay? Jesus is leading us, and we are following Him. That's the way it should be, right? Okay, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Everybody say daily. Amen. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow him. Remember, this is Jesus talking to us in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is telling us here in the last sentence of the Lord's Prayer how important it is to avoid temptation. It should be the primary concern of every Christian walking and following Christ is to avoid temptation and avoid the desires of the world. That's a whole other subject and a whole other sermon. We need to really get up every day and everything within us, trust Jesus to guide us that day. To trust Him to keep us from temptation so He doesn't guide us. Psalms 141:4 says, "Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers." Psalms is just full of this. Psalms 5:8, it says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight." Okay? When we talk about lead us into temptation, lead us not into temptation, you kind of look at it like this. I'm going to read this little story that I read out of a book, so I'm just going to read this to you. I think it's interesting. It says, a mother takes her young children. This is kind of an example of, you know, lead us not into temptation. It says, a mother takes her young children grocery shopping with her and comes to the candy aisle. She knows that taking her children down that aisle will only stir up greediness in their hearts and leads to bouts of whining and pouting. In her wisdom, she takes another route. Whatever she may have needed down that candy aisle today will have to wait for another day. In this way, the mother avoids unpleasantness and spares her children a trial. So when we look at this as lead us not into temptation, it's kind of like we're asking God, Lord, please don't take me down the candy aisle today. Isn't that true? And one of the biggest reasons that is because we all have weaknesses. Me, you, right? We all have weaknesses. We still live in this fleshly body. We're not perfect. We all have things and places that can tempt us, sometimes more than others. I've been trying to lose weight, you know? I don't make fun of me here now. But I've been doing pretty good. But for me, ever since I was a little kid, I never really liked sweets very much. I know I'm weird. I didn't like ice cream or cakes or any of that. Just wasn't my thing. I can eat a whole bag of Doritos. Ah, there you go. Are you? Hey. Damn, you're right there. Look, bam, bam. God's just helping me out, isn't He? Nothing from you guys over here? No, y'all are all guilty. I got Doritos over there. I know we're laughing, having fun a little bit, but, you know, it's that salty, crunchy thing, you know, that gets me. And so, but as Lynn's my witness, I've been doing pretty good for the last couple of weeks, you know. But that's on a small scale and a funny scale. But there's big things, isn't there? All of us have these things, maybe from our past or whatever, that we struggle with, or weaknesses that could lead us to, you know, the devil could tempt us, or our own fleshly desires could tempt us to lead us down that road. And down that road, you know, you could end up unemployed, right? You know, down that road over there, you could end up with your children not talking to you for decades. You know, you could end up down that road and be shamed in your community. You know, down that road over there, you could end up in a divorce, you know. You could, or that road over there, boy, if we start going down that road and that temptation, you know, we could end up dead. You know, it's, you know, Jesus wants us to be broken. He wants us to be honest with Him about these things, these secret things maybe. And remember that we need to trust God with each day, with each step that we take. We got to trust Him. And why can we trust Him? Because He's worthy. He's honorable. He loves us. He has a plan for us. He's our Heavenly Father. And He wants to guide us and mold us and teach us and protect us. And He wants to correct us, right? So that we don't fall into these temptations. Psalms 37, verse 23, says, "The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in their way." Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And I love this verse here, and it goes right along with this, what we're talking about with temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Everybody say, bear it. Gives me a chance to drink some water. I'm thirsty. Well, he may be able to bear it. He said, bear it? What is it? What is the Word of God talking about here? It's talking about this temptation. This temptation. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now let's take a few minutes and talk about this word evil. It's when you're studying, most of you know this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. When you're studying the Bible, not just reading through it's great, but when you really start studying the Bible, you need to we need to really rightly divide the word and study and look at the meanings and the deeper meanings. And this word evil here, if you just kind of read over it, we get this idea that it's evil, like we see in Hollywood or some, you know, evil devil, demon, evilness, that kind of thing. And on the surface, that's not really what it's talking about here. If you look up the Greek and the word evil, what it really means, this is what it means. This is what Jesus is telling us in the Lord's Prayer. This evil means hardships. It means harassments. It means irritations and perils of bad things that cause pain and suffering. So Jesus is trying to get us to stay on path, to stay focused on Him, so that we don't fall in these temptations and lead ourselves down this road that causes, you know, pain and suffering and misery and heartache and irritations. See, this desire that the Word is telling us is generating inside of our flesh. It's what it does. It generates within the side of our flesh, and then it manifests out into our life, into our walk, into our business, into our where we work, into our homes, into our families. This is what that manifests into that. So James chapter 1 verse 15. It says, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And when you study that scripture, look at that word death, it means to wither, to decay, to rot, and to eventually be no more. Earlier I mentioned marriage. You know? When you're tempted to take that second look at that lady or that man. Right? And you give into that temptation to entertain that thought. Oh, and you don't do it. And you go back again and again. And that temptation, that lust now starts to give forth and starts what? Turn to sin. And eventually that's going to hatch. It's going to hatch out into death. Remember death? Wither. To decay. To rot. To eventually become no more. And that's how I've counseled many, many hundreds of families. And that's how it starts. It starts with that temptation. Whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden that marriage begins to wither. It begins to decay. And eventually begins to rot. And then it is no more. Everybody hear me? But it starts with that heart, and that desire, and that lustful desires of our flesh. And Jesus reminds us in the Lord's Prayer every day, stay focused on Him. Don't be led down that road of temptation. Jesus is warning us to stay humble every day, to take up our cross and follow Him. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That word deliver, let's look at that for just a little bit. The word deliver, when you look at that in the Greek, it means to draw to oneself. It means to draw to oneself, to rescue. That's what it means, to draw to oneself. It's like if I was on a cruise ship, which is easy for me to imagine. We got to book another one. If I'm on a cruise ship and say you've fallen overboard and I'm up here on the cruise ship and I got this life preserver, you know, and you know, Adam's back there, he's trying to not drown, though. And I can look down and I see all them sharks underneath him. And he's trying to keep himself up. And I take the life preserver and I throw it to Adam, right? Whoo, psh, it lands next to him. Huh? And I'm trying my best to be his deliverer. I'm trying to draw him to me. I'm trying to rescue him. Now, if Adam's got this defiant spirit within him, this rebellious spirit within him, he'll say, I don't need your life preserver. I'm good. And you can't even see land, you know. I'm good. I'm all right. And the whole time, he don't see all them sharks underneath him, and I can see them. I'm like, finally, I draw the life preserver back in. I get another one. I throw it out there. He's like, that's a orange one. I want a green one. Right? So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is trying to get you to understand He is our deliverer. He is our rescuer. He's already rescued us. He died on the cross. That's what we're all building this thing up for as far as Easter. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never made that decision, don't push it aside. Let Him be your deliverer today. Let Christ rescue you today. Don't push it aside and say, well, I'm Methodist, I'm not Baptist, or I'm Pentecostal, I'm not Catholic, I'm not. Those little name tags, they're gonna fall off on the way heaven or burn off on the way down. Seriously. Some people might not like that. I don't care. When we get to heaven, a lot of people are gonna be surprised. Right? He is our deliverer, our rescuer. Jesus is reminding us in the Lord's Prayer that we desperately, desperately need Him every day. In the Lord's Prayer, He's reminding us how desperate and how lost we really are without Him. He said, I am your deliverer. I am your rescuer. See, we are weak, but He is strong. John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. James 4:8. James 4:8. The Word of God says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Proverbs 4:14-15 says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on that road. Turn away from it and pass on. Amen. Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer that we need to avoid the path of the world that leads us into temptation, because our flesh is weak, me and you. We are easily carried away by our own lustful desires. We must stay focused on Christ. Here it is, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the last words, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we close up this series on the Lord's Prayer, I've written this little prayer that goes along with the Lord's Prayer for you guys that are new. And I'm going to read this little prayer that I made up. And each Sunday I've been combining the verse, adding the verse to it until we've got the final one. And Jesus gave us a track to run on. He gave us a track to run on in our personal prayer life. This is just a foundational spiritual principle. We can build on this foundation in our personal prayer life. And based on what we've studied so far on the Lord's Prayer, it may sound something like this. Heavenly Father, I praise your holy name. You are worthy of all honor and glory. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for my sins. Thank you for showing me mercy and grace. I love you. Please help me, Lord, to pick up my cross today and follow you. Help me be obedient to your word. Bring someone in my path today I can share the good news of Jesus with and help them find peace. Lord, I trust you today for something to eat and something to drink. And I also thank you for giving me whatever you think I need today to serve you and to serve others. Lord, forgive me of my sins and forgive the people that have sinned against me. Please help me not hold a grudge against them. They need your mercy and grace just like I do. Lord, you know my weaknesses. Help me today not to be overtaken by temptation. I desperately need your guidance and protection from my own sinful flesh and from the evil one. For today I trust in you, for you are worthy to be praised and honored. Amen? Wow. That's kind of like the Lord's Prayer in my own words, understanding it a little bit more. And so that's been my prayer. That's been my prayer that you would find a new passion for the Lord's Prayer in your own life, and that you will have a new passion for your own personal prayer life. Amen? Amen. So let's pray as we close. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Oh, I so look forward to Easter and Palm Sunday. Thank you for our guests. Thank you for the family that come and visit this morning. Lord, if there is one here today that does not know you, I ask that as we start singing the invitational song, they would come forward and give their life to you. Holy Spirit, we know that you draw all men into Christ and be saved. It's not about me or what I say or don't say, but it's the Holy Spirit working in people's hearts and drawing them to Calvary. Father, is anyone here like to join the church, Lord? I'd ask you to, you know, get them to talk with me and talk with one of the deacons here, the men, and we'd be glad to talk with you about that. And we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.